You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Governor Walker's campaign announced a new proposal today to dramatically change federal labor unions if elected. We'll take a look at the details.
There's been a lot of coverage of Governor Walker's drop in the national polls since he announced his candidacy for president, and some have said his experience with the national media is partly responsible.
Walker has been criticized for changing his position on topics like immigration reform and border security after being pressed by national reporters, and has been perceived as being less confident on the national stage. One of our next guests points the finger at the Wisconsin media for being too easy on the governor.
We're joined now by Jimmy Anderson, a blogger for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Online and author of the piece How the Wisconsin Media Failed to Warn Us About Scott Walker. Jimmy, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And Mike Wagner is also with us today in studio. He's an associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. Mike, welcome back.
It's my pleasure.
So, Jimmy, let's start with you. Why do you say that the Wisconsin media failed the public when it came to coverage of Scott Walker?
You know, it was after I had read an article where they were interviewing some Republican campaign officials, and they were asking, you know, why had Walker been dropping into the polls, and they all pointed to his inability to answer questions in a straightforward way. And, you know, I took from there, and I was wondering, for me, it wasn't so much that Walker was, you know, running into gaffes or bubbles. It was just that it was a national media that was willing to ask him repeatedly difficult questions and was forcing him to answer those difficult questions and not just avoid the answers.
Okay, Michael, let's go to you with that. That's Jimmy's platform there, that the Wisconsin media did not ask the tough questions and hold Scott Walker accountable for answering them, and that may have led to his dip in the polls. What do you say to that premise?
Well, I would say that his dip in the polls is partly due to how little attention he's gotten. So part of it is that Donald Trump has taken up almost all of the oxygen on the Republican side, especially on TV. And when you're one of 17 running for office, you need to be in the news more. And when he has been in the news, it's been on issues that he's not used to answering questions about, issues related to foreign policy, immigration, things that you don't generally deal with as the governor of a state. And so they've been new issues. And so I'm not so sure that it's that the Wisconsin media haven't been asking him tough questions. They've been asking him questions about different things. And so I think that his drop in the polls is partially Trump and partially there are lots of people running and no one's getting a lot of attention. His debate performance wasn't outstanding. And when he has been in the news lately, it's because he's had trouble answering questions about immigration, or at least there's been a media narrative that he's had trouble answering those questions.
Now, you've been watching elections for a while. How would you say that media coverage in national campaigns compares to state campaigns, running for governor, say, versus running for president?
Well, the range of questions you get is much wider. And it is much easier for something to go viral and be a national sensation when you're running a national campaign. And when news media are getting to know someone, they ask a lot more gotcha-style questions. You might remember a few months ago, Governor Walker goes overseas and is asked, does he believe in evolution? Does he think Barack Obama's a Christian? You know, stuff that, you know, is not quite as important to the governing of the country as other issues. Not that it's, you know, one's belief in evolution isn't important, but it's not as related to the day-to-day of being president. And so those were big kerfuffles in the media, but they don't have a lot to do with being president. And so he got those kinds of questions from national media, and those aren't the kinds of things most local reporters have spent any time asking him.
And Jimmy, in your article, you mentioned that Governor Walker's promise to help create 250,000 jobs is an issue that the Wisconsin media could have been more aggressive on. We're going to play a little clip of that pledge.
The measure that I'll face in 4 years is not, you know, what press release did I put out and whether or not my ads are kind of cool or anything like that. The real measure would be what did I do to create an environment to help create 250,000 new jobs in the state of Wisconsin, were we successful or not.
And there is that jobs promise. So, Jimmy, what would you like the press to have done differently in Wisconsin as the governor was making that a platform of his campaign?
Right. You know, if you listen to economists at the time, a lot of them were saying that the 250,000 jobs promise was a bit ridiculous. I mean, the recession had been really severe and that growth was expected to be slow. I mean, he might as well have promised every Wisconsinite two jobs and a brick of moon cheese. But instead of treating that campaign promise as a mathematical impossibility, the Wisconsin media treated it as if it was some kind of reasonable campaign pledge. I think when you compare that to the national media, I mean, you can see the Washington Post with Jeb Bush's recent tax plan. They had criticized it, saying that it would add $3.4 trillion to the national debt over the next decade. They've criticized them about promising 4% growth. Or even when it comes to, say, Donald Trump's deportation plan, they pointed out the fact that it would cost hundreds of billions of dollars. I guess what I'm saying is that when the numbers don't add up, the media has a responsibility to say loud and clear that a politician is not being honest with you and not just act like a bullhorn for a snake oil salesman.
We're talking right now with Jimmy Anderson, author of the piece How the Wisconsin Media Failed to Warn Us About Scott Walker. He's with the Journal Sentinel. And also talking with Mike Wagner, associate professor at UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication. And Mike, what do you say to that? Was there anything in the coverage of the Wisconsin media there of that $250,000 jobs pledge that you think the media got wrong, should have pressed him on and called him out if they believed that to be the case, that the numbers were not reasonable?
Well, you know, first I would say it's right that when a candidate makes a bold claim, like we're going to end welfare as we know it or increase, you know, jobs in the state by 250,000, it's incumbent upon reporters to try to figure out where does that number come from? What's the likelihood of that happening? It's also incumbent upon reporters to talk to other people to see what they think. And, you know, during the governor's first campaign, the news media did that. You know, Governor Walker's opponent was, you know, not at all absent from news coverage, saying that, that goal was not terribly likely. And during the recall election and the governor's reelection, especially during the reelection, there was a lot of attention given to that kind of claim. Now, I think, you know, if we want to say the likelihood of a campaign promise coming to fruition, the judging that is the job of journalists. I think it's probably more the job of journalist sources. Journalists can't divine the knowledge of whether something's going to happen. And so if they don't have sources telling them it's not very likely, then it's hard for them to make that kind of report. But there were plenty of folks, especially on the opinion side, who said that that was a lofty, if very unlikely, goal to obtain. And as we know, the governor hasn't approached that goal.
And Jimmy, let's take a look at another one of the issues you're talking about here. You take an issue with the media's coverage of Governor Walker's stance on 20-week abortion. Now, here's a back and forth between Scott Walker and a Journal Sentinel reporter on that topic.
Do you believe abortion should be banned after 20 weeks?
Those are all things we'd have to look at in the future session out there.
Well, you support, I believe you co-sponsored a bill back in 98 saying abortion should be banned after 20 weeks. So I want to pin you down. Should abortion be banned after 20 weeks?
Again, I said those are all things that we'll certainly look at in the next
legislative. No, your personal view, not a legislative view, your personal view.
Well, I mean, I think it's a human life, and I think that's something that people, regardless of where they stand politically, but those are things that we'll have to talk about in the next legislative session if it comes up.
Okay, Jimmy, there are back and forth between a reporter and the governor. What do you hear in that?
You know, it's encouraging to hear that kind of back and forth, but I think the question that needs to be asked is not so much about his personal beliefs, but how he would govern and how he would legislate. We didn't exactly, like, when he put out his campaign ad saying that he supported legislation that would leave abortion between a patient and his doctor, we've come to realize that that's not true with his 20-week abortion ban, taking the decision out of a woman's hands if after 20 weeks, even if there was something wrong with the fetus or even in cases of rape and incest. If the public had known that that was what Walker planned to planned to push forward when it came to legislation, I think it would have had a much bigger difference on the eventual election.
Okay, Mike, you heard the same clip there. What struck you about it?
Well, you know, first, I think I agree with Jimmy there. It's nice to hear the back and forth. It's nice to hear follow-up questions and saying, no, not, you know, this kind of wishy-washy, well, we'll take a look at this, but let's pin you down. You know, at some point, it becomes obvious to someone, especially who's interviewed the governor on multiple occasions like a lot of the local reporters have, he's just not going to say anything beyond what he says. And eventually they'll stop because, you know, he'll keep saying the exact same thing, even after kind of the annoyed no, you've already said that. Let's try to pin you down. And so it's challenging to ask follow-up questions when someone stays relentlessly on message. And so then you've got to find another source to tell you what the governor really thinks if you think that what he's said in your interview isn't what he really thinks.
Well, which brings me back to the British press corps and the back and forth that you mentioned about evolution, about the Wisconsin idea.
Right.
And that made headlines because it was a level of questioning, a different kind of questioning that the governor had been faced with. Do you think that that is one tactic that journalists maybe should take? Should the media here in the States take a page from the British media and take some of those side angle questions and get a fuller picture of the person, the politician, as it were? Or are we better to stay on track looking at the legislative issue?
Yeah, I think it depends on what the purpose of the story is. So if you were doing a long feature on the governor for the newspaper, you might ask other questions besides straight up policy questions or governing style questions. You might ask some of those kinds of questions. Or if you're doing a 30-minute television interview, you might try to ask questions that kind of reveal a little bit about the candidate, about the person, and how they make decisions, and also reveal to the audience whether this person answers direct questions or not, which is something that journalists can do just by asking direct questions and then showing on television or in the paper that they're not getting a direct answer. But I think it's probably best for local journalists to ask about local and state issues and how the governor is going to legislate those. And then, you know, I think as Jimmy points out in the op-ed and in his comments today, when you campaign saying one thing and govern doing another, that sort of thing ought to be discussed in the local media. I have a slightly different take than he does. I think by and large, when the governor has either broken with what he said in the past or pivoted in some way, it's been present in the news media. But I think, you know, people can disagree about how aggressive reporters should be in divining what's in a candidate's head when they're not answering the questions you want them to answer.
We're comparing media coverage of Scott Walker in Wisconsin and on the national stage and talking about whether coverage here at home was too lenient on the governor, as our guest Jimmy Anderson wrote in a recent piece.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think the coverage of Governor Walker here at home versus on the national stage has been drastically different? Do you think he's been having trouble lately with the national media? If so, why do you think that is? And how should the media cover a candidate's promises during a campaign? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue our discussion with columnist Jimmy Anderson and UW-Madison media and politics expert Mike Wagner. First, a check of the latest headlines with Kristen Durst from WPR News.
It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're discussing state and national media coverage of Scott Walker right now, and we want to hear from you. Is the national media doing a better job, do you think, covering the Walker campaign than the Wisconsin media did? And do you think the coverage at home versus national coverage has been different? Do you sense a difference? How should the media cover a candidate's promises? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
Jimmy Anderson stays with us. He wrote the piece, How the Wisconsin Media Failed to Warn Us About Scott Walker. That's on the Journal Sentinel website. Also with us, Mike Wagner, associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison.
We go to our callers now. We have Terry with us from Green Bay. Hi, Terry.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. What do you think?
Well, what I think, I used to be a former reporter radio and did a little TV production here in Green Bay. It is very, very hard to keep the governor, to get a direct message, because he does very well craft his messages to stay on point. And even with follow-up answers, he can only get so far. And I think that it's the media's job, really, to make sure that they explain the process of what they're asking and what answer they didn't get, or trying to get a direct answer. I think that needs to be explained in the process, that this question was asked, here's his reply, and here is what we were looking for and did not get a direct answer. I think that needs to be put out there a little bit more in explaining the process and trying to get an actual answer.
Okay, Terry, thank you for that insight there. And Mike, what do you think about that? Should the media get to, I guess it's a little behind the scenes, you saying what we were going for was this, we didn't do that. I mean, you can't do it during an interview. That would be unwieldy. You can do it in print. But what do you think about that idea in general?
Well, I think that's a reasonable thing to do, is to say, you know, here's the story we were trying to cover, and here are the answers we got and the questions we got. And sometimes local reporters have actually pulled back the curtain. Jesse Apoyan of the Cap Times recently wrote a piece. The headline is something like A Field Guide to Governor Walker's Vocal Tics, and it's about how he answers questions and how local and national reporters interpret the way he begins answering questions differently and how that leads local reporters not to cover things national reporters cover. So if the governor, as a form of habit, says, yeah, absolutely, when he begins the answer to any question, which he does, local reporters ignore it, national reporters take off with it, and that's how we got into trouble about the, does he think that birthright citizenship still applies to the 14th Amendment. He still never actually gave a direct opinion that I've noticed in news coverage, but the way he started his answer was one that local reporters knew enough to know that he wasn't answering the reporter's question as much as he was saying to the reporter, okay, now I'm going to answer your question.
So what do you make of it?
The governor is a very smart politician and works very hard not to pin himself down when he can on a variety of issues.
Jimmy, what about that for you? Would that answer some of your critique here of the local media, if there was more of that behind-the-scenes look at what a reporter might have been intending with a question?
You know, I think that would be really helpful to be able to better understand, what it is that they believe Walker was trying to answer or whether or not he was purposely evading answers. I think we've seen a lot of that more in the national media. There was a interesting piece in New York Magazine where kind of tongue-in-cheek, they said that Scott Walker had stumbled upon the cheat code for never having to answer campaign questions and saying that, you know, I'm not going to answer any hypotheticals. And so I think that's something that the national media has been doing a better job of trying to prod him to eventually answer those questions.
All right. Well, thank you for that call. Appreciate that, Terry. And we'll go next to Jeff in Madison. Jeff, hi.
Hi. Good afternoon.
What is your take on all this?
Yeah, so the one that surprised me, I was, a prejudice for just that the governor would be questioned by the national media about the six people who were convicted of crimes when he worked for the county, and two of them who took money from widows of veterans, and I thought that would be appalling, and they would push that agenda for a question about that.
Okay, Jeff, and Jimmy, what do you think about how that was handled?
You know, it's going. I'm sorry. Was the question about the two campaign staffers who were eventually charged with crimes?
Right at the governor's time as county executive, and how that was picked up and ran with in the national media.
You know, I haven't really seen a lot going back to when he was Milwaukee County executive. I've seen a lot more focus on the national media on his current presidential campaign. There's been a little bit going back to. You know, going back to his campaign promise to create jobs and kind of the economy in Wisconsin. But, you know, I haven't really seen a lot being discussed from his time as Milwaukee County executive.
Well, thanks for that. And Mike, what about you? Is this something that the national media has not picked up on while it's focused on other things?
They haven't covered it very much. I mean, they've covered more of his first speech in Iowa, which got a lot of positive attention. Some of the missteps on immigration and foreign policy have gotten a lot of attention. His debate performance has gotten some attention. He's had a lot of bad coverage in the last week about his standing in the public opinion polls for the nomination. Usually, that kind of investigative digging from national journalists is something that doesn't happen until you're really one of the last couple of people standing. And so when there's 17 people, the coverage is more about where are the candidates on the particular issues that the Republicans, in this case, are talking about in the primary rather than their pasts.
We're talking right now with Mike Wagner, associate professor at UW-Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communication, and also Jimmy Anderson, columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about whether the Wisconsin media has been too lenient in its coverage of Scott Walker, and that the national media has not, at least according to Jimmy Anderson, done that same thing. He thinks that the national media has gotten some clearer answers. And Jimmy, I want to quote from your piece now. You write that it's not rudeness our reporters fear. It's the misplaced notion that if they are critical of Walker, that it means that they are biased. It's the end of your quote. Can you talk a little bit more about what you mean by that?
You know, it's I think it's a common refrain that we often hear that the media has some kind of liberal bias. And there was an interesting book written by two guys by the name of Mann and Ornstein. I think Professor Wagner has mentioned this book before, and they've written a book called "It's Even Worse Than It Looks," and they kind of discuss the politicization of or how politicized our politics have gotten, but they've also talked a lot about when it comes to the media. They say that often reporters and editors try to seek safe ground by giving equal time to opposing groups, opposing arguments, and that they do so in order to avoid appearing biased. And I think that could be kind of dangerous. I mean, sometimes there are answers. Take, for example, when during the debate when Walker said that we had a surplus versus an impending deficit. By not having to address that issue, by what I believe by lying about that issue, we didn't get answers as to what he would do to deal with the deficit. And then we end up with surprises like this $300 million cut to the UW system. So I think that there can be a danger when, you know, a reporter, in order to try to avoid what they may perceive as bias, by giving both sides equal weight to their arguments. And I think that could be a dangerous thing.
All right. Well, and Mike, first of all, do you agree with that premise there again, that the Wisconsin media has been too afraid of appearing biased? And if you agree with that, there is a lot of political pressure, highly pressurized atmosphere right now, especially in the wake of Act 10. Would that be part of what you think could be going on?
Well, I think, first of all, just kind of speaking generally about reporters, oftentimes you often see in stories two and only two sides, regardless of whether there are one or 11 sides, because you want to appear and when you be balanced and objective in your reporting. But sometimes that can lead to what Jimmy's talking about, something that, you know, we might call false equivalence, right? So 99% of scientists say climate change is happening, 1% say we're not so sure, and both of those get equal attention in the media. And that's a big problem. Sometimes, though, I think, you know, part of this is a selective reading and remembering of what's happened. So there was an interesting point in Jimmy's provocative piece that said that there wasn't a kind of calling out of Governor Walker's changing of his jobs goal. So Walker said, I promised to do this for 250,000 jobs, and then later amended his language to say he was doing a goal. And the story that gets linked to by Patrick Marley of the Journal Sentinel quotes Walker at length saying, this is a promise, this is, I'm going to tattoo this on people's foreheads. And so the story quoted Walker saying this is a goal, but it also quoted Walker saying more than it was a goal, and it quoted Democrats saying, no, this was a goal. And so there were plenty of people pushing back. And so the question is, and I think this is a good question, how much airtime or column inches should you give someone who says something that might not exactly be true, but they're saying it and you want to tell your readers they're saying it? That's a tough question.
Well, Mike, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
And Jimmy, thank you to you as well. We've been talking to Jimmy Anderson, blogger for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel online and the author of the piece, How the Wisconsin Media Failed to Warn Us About Scott Walker. Also with us, Mike Wagner, associate professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison.